may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Hey, welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Well, we broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. This is the place to be. I want to just thank the Global Star Radio Network for all they do, making us sound good, even though we don't. And that's a check-in from our studio dog lady who's now prowling the studios and the offices of the Hagman and Hagman Report. And she is doing a great job. So if you hear her chime in, you'll know that she is just doing her job and watching for predators, prowlers, and can't think of anything else that starts with a P that I can say on the radio. Anyway, folks, we're simulcast on BTR, Blitz Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live. And, of course, by archive on YouTube. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's our page. Internet presence on the Internet. That's HagmanandHagman.com. Two N's. One G. One H. Let me spell out the word and. You want me to spell it for you? Now, we've got two websites. We also have HagmanReport.com for news, information, analysis, show prep, if you will. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, a fellow investigator, researcher, and of course my son, Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Now, we got a great show for you lined up tonight. I want to thank Greg Jackson for all of his hard work and helping us out in a number of different ways, including, but not limited to, we're going to have Kurt Schilling on tonight. Kurt Schilling is the baseball legend who was fired from his job at ESPN for speaking the truth. Apparently that's, well, as they say, a revolutionary act here in America, speaking the truth. We stand firmly, at least I do, Joe and I stand firmly behind Kurt Schilling, his right to say what he wants to say. And I've seen arguments, I've seen the arguments on different sides. Let me tell you something. All right. Soviet Union, you may remember this. And one of the authors, if you search his name, one of the stories there, one of the authors had talked about the old days of the Soviet Union where Stalin, Brezhnev, and the rest would literally airbrush out of photographs of those who fell out of favor. Killing them and sending family members to Siberia it wasn't sufficient. They had to be erased from the collective memory. This is what ESPN is doing to Kurt Schilling documentary. Well, ESPN's airbrushing a game played by former Red Sox great Kurt Schilling out of a documentary in the 2004 American League Championship Series. Go figure.
Yeah, this is...
Go figure.
ESPN does a 30 for 30.
Right.
And this is, they play 30 documentaries in 30 days.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Schilling was a guest on our show once before in 2015.
That's right.
During his suspension from ESPN, he was suspended for a social media post comparing Muslims to Nazis.
Yeah.
And now he has been fired. He went to Twitter, posted on Twitter a picture of a man dressed as a woman, and just basically said a men's room is for men who were born naturally as men, and a women's room is for women who were born naturally women.
Gee, be stole my heart. I don't know.
Meanwhile, I learned.
I don't know, man.
Doing the pre-show here, reading through some articles, there's a another analyst on ESPN who said he wanted to drive a car, hit Sarah Palin with his car.
Right.
He still works there.
Yeah, I think there was.
Kurt said that ESPN is one of the most racist or places and organizations to work. Work for. And Mike Ditka, the famous Chicago Bears coach, was let go after he was critical of the president a few years back also.
Well,
so they're very political.
You see, here's the thing. We are now the most divided, in my view, than we've ever been. And this is by design. This is deliberate. And I'm going to be getting that into that in a second. Before we go too far into tonight's programming, and it's going to be a great program at that. I just want to mention, folks,
pro flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mother's Day is this weekend, right? Mother's Day is this coming Sunday, only 6 days basically away. Mom has always been there for you, cooking, giving you relationship advice, fixing your cuts and bruises. What about your wife, the mother of your children? How about your grandma? How about that special person in your life? Who's a mother? Who's a mom? Many. You know many. And they all deserve flowers. Every woman likes to get flowers. I know. I know they say, oh, no, you don't have to do that. But they do. They love flowers. And you will never be disappointed by the flowers from proflowers.com. Here's the deal. Get mom 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can make her day extra special. Upgrade to a premium vase and add gourmet chocolates for just $9.99 more. Folks, go to proflowers.com today. Use our code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, in the blue microphone box. You'll see it there. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. Just type in the word Hagman. More on that later. But as I was saying, right now we are in the most divisive time in history, I believe, in the history of our country. You've got demonstrators, these paid-for shills, these mind-numbed populace flipping off Trump supporters, shouting expletives at passing cars. You've got a poll.
Well, you know, Trump shouldn't be there antagonizing with his free speech. I mean, he's the problem here.
Well,
don't you see where Trump goes, trouble follows.
You know, okay. This is beyond. This is absolutely beyond.
The saddest part is that what I just said is a popular justification or they blame Trump for the protesters and their violence, and people believe it. That's the sad part.
Well, I think what we're seeing goes far beyond anything that is spontaneous. What we're seeing take place right now is about as spontaneous as the Arab Spring was. And we know that was orchestrated. We are seeing this divisiveness. Here's the deal. See, America is both a barrier and a prize. Now think about this. Let's think about this for a moment here. and listen carefully, because I believe this is really important. For a long time, America has served as the barrier against the advancement of communism, which is the vehicle that carries the payload of the New World Order, which is really the Old World Order revamped. It's a barrier because of, well, obviously geography. There's two reasons why it's a barrier. Obviously because of geography. One cannot, a foreign country would be hard pressed to invade successfully America because two oceans and large landmass borders separate the country from without. But the other part of that equation, it's the barrier and a prize. The prize being the American people and the mineral, or the American people and the assets of the country. But you see, America as it once was, we were once a moral and godly and spiritual population. And I intend to write about this. In fact, I am writing about this. And you cannot thrust a New World Order or have an entire New World Order, the World Order, effective without America. And you cannot have America part and parcel to this New World Order without assailing the morality and the spirituality of its population. You can't have a godly people and have an effective New World Order. So the globalists are faced with a choice. Do we eradicate the Christians and people that hold on to a spirituality that's most consistent with the Bible and laws that are most consistent with the Constitution, or do we try something else? Well, Bill Ayers, don't forget, talked to Larry Grathwall and said, you know, we're just going to have to exterminate, if it comes down to it, up to 25 million people at that time. Well, the globalists, I believe, have taken the choice of not exterminate, but infiltrate. Mm-hmm. Then perhaps exterminate, but infiltration.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner this weekend, the president, the renegade, opened with a joke about how everybody looked nice and how the Republic looked so nice being dead, or almost dead, or whatever he whatever he said.
Mission accomplished.
He even went on to make jokes about bringing a judge in against Republic, basically along partisan lines. You know, let's just get this over with now. And obviously, you know, there's humor. It's kind of like a roast atmosphere at those dinners.
But not like
this. This was just way over the top. Not only the president, but the comedian who was after him, was Larry, the guy who took over for The Daily Show.
Larry Wilmore.
He sparked some outrage.
Well, first of all, he wasn't funny. Number one, he was not funny.
No, he
number
was
two,
taking some... I mean, his comedy was cheap shots at the attending audience.
Yeah, I was in the back row sitting next to Katie Kirk, and she didn't find it funny either. We talked.
Get an invitation?
No. The entire White House, the last correspondence dinner, that's that really doesn't even warrant discussion, but except to say that it's amazing how you've got this Larry Wilmore who can shout out the N-word.
Yeah, I was offended. He should be fired.
And Obama being, quote, cool with that, end quote. Appreciating his spirit and sentiments, of course. But see, this is how the sick, perverse progressives work. It's okay. It's all right when this happens. Here's the other thing, though. Getting back to America being divided. Those who believe that America, that this election, it's either do or die, this election, this election is actually the most important election in modern history. If you believe that, then you're going to have to follow backwards and ask some hard questions and demand some demand some honest answers. Because if that's the case, if that's what you believe, then we must, at this point, be facing a very deep abyss.
And let's make a distinction that, you know, there are a lot of people who join our listening audience, you know, every day, every week, every month, new listeners.
Right.
People have to understand that after going through this left-right paradigm, getting a new president, offering new solutions, you know, new hope, when you study these things and go through these things and live these things over and over, expecting the change, expecting the hope to follow through, and are just destroyed and disappointed due to your own expectations, you learn that there is no Republican and Democrat. It's an illusion of a choice for a consolidation of power. That's why we say that if you think this is the most important election in American history, or if it will make a difference, it really won't.
Well,
I mean, it will, to the extent that...
Yes, okay, go on with that. I know where you're headed.
The person who is elected will work to make the change. Now, we were promised something with this president, and he did the opposite. He did hope and change. He just changed things in a way we hoped he wouldn't.
Well, look, folks, what we're facing, if you believe that this is the most important election in history, and you believe that this is a do or die, that we have to get America back, take America back, then you also must believe that we are at a precipice like no other time in history. And this is why we see this fighting in the streets. We're seeing the fighting in the streets not as a result of the elections, but as a result of the divide that is becoming forth from the elections. All right. What I'm telling you is this, and you're right as well, Joe, where it really doesn't matter who, whether it's Trump, Cruz, or Hillary, or Sanders, or whoever the person is. What we're seeing is not a concept, not necessarily a not because of the people, but because of the ideology behind the people. It's the movement behind the people, as opposed to the people themselves. One may argue that personalities have something to do with it. However, at the very core, at the epicenter, is, in my view, the fact that we are a divided nation. And this nation became divided deliberately, or was divided deliberately, because in order to take over a country, in order to take over the United States, you can't take it over by when we're unified. And so, in order to
unified together, we're unified in an ideology or belief system.
Yeah, I mean, when we are a country who is unified in purpose and unified, when we ever act together, it's difficult to overtake a country. Now, having said that, it's easier to take a country over when there's this division along not just partisan lines but ideological and spiritual lines as well. And this is what we're seeing. So, you're not going to hear anything like this on the mainstream media. You're not going to hear, despite the qualities, admirable qualities Chris Wallace has, you're not going to hear him talking about anything meaningful when it comes to these types of issues. You're going to hear him talk about politics, and that's it. Same with Rush Limbaugh, same with Sean Hannity. You're not going to get into the blood sacrifice that exists in the abortion mills. You're not going to get into this. No, it's because they have their talking points, and that's it. Because in order to when the historians of in the future are allowed to do a postmortem on the United States of America, they will find the cause of death to be from multiple occasions of blood and force trauma, and it's going to be murder of a country, of a nation, of a republic, and it's going to be found that there were many spectators, but few people stepped up to intervene. That's a metaphor, I suppose, to the autopsy that will be done on America. And I truly believe that what we're seeing here is the final throes of Republican trouble. Now, I mentioned abortion. Many headlines to get into, a lot of things to discuss. It's interesting that Planned Parenthood scored yet another courtroom victory against the Center for Medical Progress. I'm not sure how many people saw this last week. The courtroom battles over the Center for Medical Progress undercover investigative videos that highlighted Planned Parenthood's profiting.
Exposed.
Yeah, exactly. They profited from the trafficking of aborted baby tissue.
Which is a felony.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, the battle continues to rage. And the fact is, in California, the National Abortion Federation and Planned Parenthood scored a minor victory when a federal judge issued an injunction preventing CMP and investigative journalist David Dalyden from releasing any more footage. Now, according to the Legal Defense Foundation, which is assisting the legal battle, the judge's ruling was based in part on the NAF's allegations that the videos were deceptively edited. BS, they were edited.
Do you remember before that this indictment came, they were going to indict Planned Parenthood, but before this, there was an order by a judge issued for them not to release any more videos also in California? But after
Yes, they released.
Okay.
And yes, it was a roundabout. But see, in an amicus brief that was signed by six members of Congress, ladies and gentlemen, the findings of an independent forensic report irrefutably established that the videos were not manipulated, they were not altered, they were not doctored, or they were not misleadingly edited in any way, shape, or form.
Well, there were edited versions, but they were the whole version was released.
I understand that. We're talking about deceptively edited.
Cut down,
the
yes.
accusation from the
was that they
National
cut,
Abortion
pasted it to make it sound like right, it said something right. It didn't. But in reality, everything that was heard was in context.
We find, and I'm quoting here from the Life Legal Executive Director, Alexandra Snyder, said this. We find this free speech arguments provided by 11 of the nation's leading constitutional experts to be particularly compelling. With each day that goes by, the judge's ruling erodes our First Amendment protections by impeding the free flow of information. Here's the situation, folks. You've got an activist judge making a ruling on a piece of evidence that is throwing the Center for Medical Progress under the bus for nothing, for no reason, for no legitimate reason. This is a California ruling, this is a California judge, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Again, we have an amicus brief that was filed by six members of Congress, findings of an independent forensic report that irrefutably established that the videos were not manipulated, they were not altered, they were not doctored, they were not edited in any deceptive way, in any meaningful way whatsoever. And yet this judge, this rogue judge, finds against the Center for Medical Progress. This is an attack on the free speech against those who are anti-abortion, more appropriately said, pro-life. This is an attack on people like the Hagman and Hagman Report, Rick Wiles, Alex Jones, anyone who steps up and says, abortion is murder. And we're waiting, frankly. We're waiting for our turn in the censorship chair. You see, anyone can sue anybody for anything, just about. Prove that. And see, these abortion mills, these murderous doctors, how dare these doctors call themselves doctors? They don't want these videos to be shown that tell us that we hit a nerve. This is amazing. This is an amazing ruling. This is an absolutely amazing ruling. And there's, again, if you didn't hear about this, this did happen last week. And I'm going to read a few more sentences here. Apart from Dalyden's undercover videos, the public would have no way of knowing about the abortion industry's practice of selling the parts of aborted babies. The public clearly has a right to access this important information. You think so? I do. Now, Thomas More Society, their attorneys filed an appeal last week with the United States Supreme Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. You got to figure it's the Ninth Circuit Court, right? Arguing for reversals of the injunction. They argue that the injunction was a blatantly unconstitutional, prior restraint on free speech. Now think about that phrase. Blatantly unconstitutional, prior restraint on free speech. That's using the legal system to shut up people like us. But more accurately, to shut up the truth coming from the Center for Medical Progress. Believe me, the legal system has been weaponized by these despicable human beings. I was taken to task by some idiot blogger. I mean, out to lunch idiot blogger.
What'd you do?
Well, saying I had to re-examine, or I don't want to be accused of misquoting, but I was called a professional liar, basically, having the tenacity, having the temerity, having the audacity, as in my role as an investigator, as a Christian, to present myself as someone I was not. You see, this holier than thou Christian. Sick.
Are you talking about in our working on crime investigation?
Yeah. Yeah. So as a Christian, one should not do that, apparently, according to this holier than thou Christian, ankle biting Christian. And the reason this pisses me off so much, and excuse my language, is because these people, and people like this, and I say these people because there are multiple people, will use Christianity as a pretext for inaction.
They will also use its laws, which each and every one of us breaks every day, to point out flaws that other people have, or areas they perceive, or spin and make it look as somebody is doing something wrong, when in fact...
This person would likely be more pissed off over the fact that David DeLeon and his people actually went in and got the evidence under pretext than the fact that that babies are being slaughtered. How dare you? How dare you call yourself a Christian? How dare you?
Yeah, and, we have... there's a few scriptures that deal with this. The liberalism is what they call it. They talk about it in two references, Old Testament references in Isaiah, and then there's some in 2 Corinthians. And what it talks about in here is, it says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjugation into the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And what this is talking about is, what it starts talking about is about how our minds, how we think, how things are vain, that we
some
think
don't
are...
Think.
There's
synapses firing improperly up there, I believe, in some cases.
Yeah, and perception is a lot. Some people look at one thing and see beauty, and other will look at that beauty and see ugliness. We see the world right now is everything's backwards, upside down. Good is literally evil. The truth is hate speech.
That's right.
Murder is good.
Right. And David DeLeon and his people go into Planned Parenthood, and under pretext, permissible pretext, I might add. Now, there are some issues, at least in that context, and please understand, people, I'm not saying if there is false identity, a state identity, that's something different. But in the pretext of the venue, went in under a pretext, a permissible pretext, posing as an investigative journalist to obtain verification, video verification, and authenticated verification of a felonious act. And he did so. They did so. They accomplished this, and people are hacked off about it. You see, and then you've got Christians standing up.
So they
up
weren't
for,
journalists?
Well, you got people say, well, man, you know, boy, as a Christian, you shouldn't do that. Okay, well, then you know, the Christian guy and the Christian police officer, undercover police officer, You better tell them never ever to go in under a pretext. The Christian vice officer, make sure that you can't be that, you know, you can't do that. Under the banner of Christianity. How sick are these people? How sick are these people?
The incident you're talking about that somebody took you to task for, quote unquote, although we did use a pretext, it wasn't a lie. It was the truth. We were journalists.
Well, many times I've gone in and represented myself as someone I was not, but it doesn't matter.
That guy, truth.
Right.
It was a truth. You were a journalist for Canada.
See, it would not even matter. See, it doesn't matter, Joe, because nothing would ever be good enough for them. You see,
they've always got
an ankle bite. And the reason I'm really hacked off right now about this, and I'll tell you why. Because there's so much more going on around them. They're leading people to slaughter through their words. They're leading people, they're diverting people away from the issues because of what they're saying. They're costing people salvation in some cases, I believe. It's my personal
belief.
And if you quote me, you damn well better quote me correctly. You understand? I mean, word for flipping word correctly. And you know who I'm talking about.
All right.
Let's take a break. Can we do that?
Well, you want some music? You want Eric to sing?
Are we capable of this?
Todd to play the violin.
We'll be right back after this. Stay with us. I guess I'm waiting for nothing, right?
No,
just kidding. All right.
Is there music playing?
I'm pissed.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Thank you.
do. We are trying out some new things here with respect to breaks. And welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Hagman Report. We took a brief break so I can calm down and get injected with
Pressure break.
Yeah, blood pressure medication, and it's all right. No, but seriously, we do have a lot of information to cover, and you know, it's really a sad state of affairs that we're talking about when the church does not step up, when the Christians don't step up and to recognize what's going on, and that we have people being sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. We've got souls being lost. We've got murders being conducted. We've got sin being done. And then you've got this absolute idiocy that reigns among the church itself that can be stopped and should be stopped. You know, Kurt Schilling is a great example, and he's going to be on here in a little bit. The reason that case is so important is because it's just one example, folks, of a very real trend in which Americans today are being sacrificed on the altar of political correctness, where they can lose their jobs for speaking their mind, what they believe in. And thankfully, we have a job here where we can speak our mind with relative impunity. Now, it may cost us sponsors. It may cost us listeners. It may cost us supporters. But it doesn't matter, because we are beholden to no one except God Almighty. And in the end, I truly believe that this mess will be taken care of. I know how the story ends, so that gives me great pleasure. And I know that we will be vindicated. We as Christians will be vindicated. You know, the progressive left, the mental midgets of the progressive left and the media are working overtime to redefine what's acceptable for us to say. They can't get rid of the First Amendment, at least not yet, because of the Second. But they're looking at to do it via other means, though, right?
Absolutely.
And you know,
look at what we're talking about. Stating a fact of truth is deemed hate speech. Having an opinion, and not only having an opinion, but voicing that opinion, means you are a bigot.
This is social warfare. This is what this is. And we need to saddle for battle against the social warfare. We need to take out the wusses and tell them to stand aside, step aside. Either lead, follow, or get out of our way. Because we're coming. We're saddling for battle. And we are going to saddle for battle. And we're going to go forward. And we are going to preach until our voices are hoarse, or until we can't preach anymore. When I say preach, I'm talking about not as pastors or as ministers, but as truth tellers. All right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, now, yeah, again, we are testing, and seriously, that break was somewhat kind of scheduled. It was discussed, but not a hard break. What we're trying to do is adjust our program clock, and so it wasn't me, busting a blood vessel. It was just one of those things where we inserted that in there. All right. So go ahead, let's hit some of the, by the way, the cash system. I don't know how many people have seen this, but did you know that, they're checking now, they've run some tests inside the secret meeting where Wall Street tested digital cash, here last month. More than 100 executives from some of the world's largest financial institutions gather for a private meeting at the Times Square office of NASDAQ. And what they did was they were testing technology for some to transition finance into a digital cash system. Now, according to this article in Bloomberg Technology, by the end of the day, they had seen something revolutionary. The U.S. dollars transformed into pure digital assets able to be used to execute and settle a trade instantly. And they get into this is what this will, what effect this will have. The event announced in a statement this past Monday, announced today, actually, marked a key moment in the evolution of blockchain. Now, blockchain, you're going to be hearing more about this This is created by Chain, one of many startups trying to rewire the financial industry, but this has reverberations into our lives and to the extent that pretty soon cash will be obsolete because you cannot control what you don't know about. So the $2 or $3 or $5 or $10 or $20 in your pocket, they don't know about, so they can't control it. And they can't control transactions when you use cash. So this is a big deal. And this is one more step toward that New World Order system. So folks, understand the members of, and this is known to members of Congress, both on the right and on the left. They are pushing toward this cashless society. All right. Now using, of course, the venue of the NASDAQ, partnered with Citigroup in order to try the system out, but it's going to have ramifications in the everyday lives, in our everyday lives. So please pay attention to this. So that's, I wanted to make sure everyone knew about that.
Yesterday was the 80-year anniversary of FDR's executive order requiring citizens to turn in the gold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This was the Executive Order 11825. Americans were not allowed to own gold from that date until President Ford signed an executive order on December 31st, 1974. What happened 80 years ago yesterday was the stealing of the American wealth, or the wealth from the Americans. They took the gold and from all the Americans, and then the next day or two, it doubled in price.
And yep, yep.
And then after which they took our money off of the gold standard. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine. We talk about this when we have economists on, and this is a common question people ask. Can they come take the metals? Will they?
Oh, sure, sure, I mean, they can.
But and I think, at first when we were getting into this, you know, we would think through the different scenarios, but over time, you definitely have it right that when they come for the gold, they're not just coming for the gold. When they come for guns, they're not just coming for the guns. They're coming for everything.
Right. That's very true. And again, this goes back to America being the barrier and the prize because, as America sits right now, we have we have the remnants of a moral and spiritual society. We don't have a cohesive spiritual society in America. We've got the remnants thereof, and it's these remnants who are righteous and who are carrying the banner of righteousness and morality and biblical Christianity, not legalism. That's not what I'm talking about. Not religious. Or what do they call that?
Religious spirit. Yeah.
Okay. But the gospel. These are the people, and who comprise the remnants. And I use that term plural remnants to go out and to that will stand in the gap and to prevent the fully functional New World Order. Again, the New World Order is nothing more than the Old World Order revamped. So, this is a big deal. I mean, we need to band together and to be united as one, right? We really do, at least as best as possible, in order to fight off what is coming.
I mean, look what happened to Christianity since its inception. It's been divided in itself with the denominations.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus and his disciples were alive even when they were alive, there's many instances in the New Testament with letters from Paul to Timothy or to Peter talking about how surprised he is to hear that they are already speaking of a different Jesus than the one that was resurrected before their eyes. And these are the people who lived through it.
So
now we're 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
We have pastors and a society that is comfortable, feeling secure, protected, feeling that, you know, they have their needs met, so they don't seek for things beyond that.
Right.
And, you know, all of us have been stuck there at some point in time. Some of us go through periods where we still go get stuck there. But when the pastors are set up as, you know, 501c3s, they're already done. I mean, they're not a true church in a sense at that moment, because at that moment the government controls what they can or cannot say to a degree. Especially politically. They can't endorse a political candidate. They don't even talk about, I mean, many of them steer away for fear of having to deal with it, and they'd rather be tax exempt than be free. And that's not all 501c3s.
No. No.
But most have used the tax break to set up a church, to set up missionaries. Instead, they got comfortable, they got complacent, and they didn't see the error of their ways. People stopped learning. I mean, to me, when you read the Bible, I could read it every second of every day for the next 100 years. I'm still not going to come to a point where I close that book and say, okay, got all I can out of this one.
Yeah, where's the sequel?
But people aren't even picking up the Bible they have to read any of it, let alone a verse, a psalm. JD does. I like what he does. Five psalms and a parable in the morning. You'd be surprised how important, you know, if you take the first moments of your day, and before you do anything else, before you get out of bed, to read a Bible verse, to pray, to acknowledge God, or just to thank Him for being awake, and to ask Him to lead you in your day, what a difference it makes.
Yeah,
but we're careless.
Well, right.
I mean, you know, when you're sick, you always feel and wish how good it is when you feel normal. Oh, I just want to feel normal. And we don't seek God a lot of times until we're in trouble or have something we need. We need to seek God all the time, especially when, you know, when we're happy.
Right.
The joy is taken out of the church. People have, and we're all guilty of it, use our electronic devices and whatever means, whether it's a TV, video games, computers, to fill some kind of void, or I don't even know how to explain it. The Christians are so oppressed who are doing this with a pure heart that they don't know which way to look. And, you know, the other Christians are calling them crazy.
Oh, it's an ankle-biting fest.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it is.
And it's all hypocrisy, and it's all for nothing unless it bears fruit, whatever you're doing in life. Unless it bears good fruit, it's worthless. So we need to reevaluate what we're doing, how we're doing it, and if it is bearing good fruit.
Yeah.
And then make the decision, you know. If you don't want to bear good fruit, well, make that decision and go all in the other way. But the time, I think Pastor Langford said it last week, you know, the separation, and it gets talked about a lot. God separating His people from those who either were His people or never were His people and don't want to be His people. And it's tearing apart marriages, families, friendships. I mean, it's non-discriminatory. It's, I don't know, the ship's here, and you got to get on it now. Because who knows before how long until that door's shut. I don't want to be in a position where I'm regretting not doing something that, I don't know, is good for me on a daily basis, to, you know, for an eternal regret. I wouldn't wish that on anybody either.
Amen to that. You want to hear some truisms, folks? Kind of a change of pace here in terms of programming. Not taking in Syrian refugees and closing our borders is not being mean or heartless. I lock my doors every night, not because I hate the people outside my house, but because I love the people inside my house. That's by Sweet Southern Sass. Let me repeat that. That does bear repeating. Not taking in Syrian refugees and closing our borders. That's not being mean or heartless. I lock my doors every night, not because I hate the people outside my house, but because I love the people inside my house. Here's one from Breitbart, One Voice. The same State Department that found it impossible to rescue a few Americans at Benghazi now says it'll rescue 200,000 Muslims. How about this one? This is a good one. Okay, you have to picture an Arab male, full beard, tablecloth, ring, headscarf. In a poster, and the poster reads this: "My wife called me a pedophile." Well, that's a big word for a 9-year-old. And how true is this? I can't read who this is from. When was the last time you saw anyone other than a Muslim holding a severed head?
When I came to the studio today, I mean, I walked by his office.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I can't get this done with all these interruptions. I thought, okay, it's Monday.
Here's another truism. This by right-wing rants and raves. The wall between Mexico and Guatemala. And it's got a picture of a wall. If you make it over, you'll be arrested. If not, shot. Okay. Now, why is it that Americans who want an effective border wall are called racists? And this from Alice Teller, which is interesting. White privilege is equals being held responsible for the acts of your ancestors by folks who accept no responsibility for the acts of their children.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Yeah. I just, and Cicero, of course, let's not forget about Cicero, who said, the more laws, the less justice. And of course, that applies to many things today. And Christopher Hitchens had something, he said something about Islamophobia. This is not part of the truism aspect, but Islamophobia, that's a word created by fascists and a word used by cowards to manipulate morons. I thought that was especially precious. Christopher Hitchens. Islamophobia, a word created by fascists, used by morons, or used by cowards to manipulate morons. Pretty cool. And of course, this came across my inbox too. Apparently it was on the Sultan Kanish blogspot. The farmer and the snake. And folks, think about this, because we do have this happen to all of us. Family members, friends, people that are close to us here as we approach the top of the hour. A farmer walked through his field one cold winter morning. On the ground lay a snake, stiff and frozen with the cold. The farmer knew how deadly the snake could be, yet he picked it up and put it in his bosom to warm it back to life. The snake soon revived, and when it had enough strength, the snake bit the man who had been so kind to it. The bite was deadly, and the farmer felt that he must die. "Oh," cried the farmer with his last breath, "I am rightly served for pitying a scoundrel. The great kindness will not bind the ungrateful." There you have it, folks. Think about that. And the moral, of course, of this fable from Aesop is that doing good to evil will only lead to more evil. So we must snuff it out, we must stamp it out, we must reject it, I suppose, would be the more accurate way. You know, if we aid those who kill, it only brings more death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's human nature to think that people will return good for good and evil for evil, but that's not the case. This kind of thinking perversely leads some to assume that they're being sold. They must have done something to deserve it. And that's the victim mentality we spoke of earlier. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star.